Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Happy Monday. Okay, I want to let you know I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. We got three more hours left here on the show. Thank you to everybody who tuned in to hour number one. We had a chance to really talk through everything that happened in week two of the NFL season, which I dubbed the good, bad, and the ugly. Russell Wilson was the good. Carson Wentz was the bad, and everybody just getting injured. Oh, yeah. Pretty damn ugly. Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, Jimmy Garoppolo, Nick Bosa, Raheem Mostert. Yeah, I named the 349ers. Davante Adams, hamstring. Cortland Sutton, ACL. Drew Lock, shoulder. Yeah, it was ugly. It was real ugly watching a lot of players go down. And thank you to Jeff Kerr, NFL writer, CBSSports.com, for joining us. He said, unfortunately, without the lack of preparation that we would typically see in an NFL year, not just in training camp, not just the preseason games, but some of these OTAs, there are several reasons. You know, that these players, let's be real, they're not hardened the way that they typically would be. And that's not to say we wouldn't see non-contact injuries. It's not to say folks wouldn't be out there playing these games getting hurt. But the reality is, nobody has had the general preparation for this year. And so I am hoping that as the year rolls on, that we don't see more of these injuries and that it is an aberration. But having said that, I think reality does set in, and Jeff brings up an excellent point. What happens as the season wears on? What happens as it gets colder outside and muscles tighten up? I mean, things could get ugly. I'm hoping yesterday was the worst injury week that we have to think about here this NFL season. When we all knew that COVID-19 was going to be something for everybody to look out for. So let's see how the rest of the season kind of goes through. Fingers crossed on COVID-19 and fingers crossed that our players can actually stay healthy out on the field. It's just players, unfortunately, superstar players have dropped like flies. Okay, I want to switch gears here, and thank you to super producer Stu Kovacs for helping to make sure that everything runs smoothly. Right now, the Oakland Raiders have a 24-17 lead against the New Orleans Saints. They're trying to win at home here in this fourth quarter. Let's see if they can go ahead and get the job done. But I do want to switch gears, and then we're going to talk to Greg Bell. He's a Seahawks beat writer for the Tacoma News Tribune. I want to get back to talking NFL. This week, too, was a big one. And then I want to talk about this Saints-Raiders game. If the Raiders can hold on here, I think that's kind of a wake-up call for a lot of folks in the NFL. Derek Carr says he wants that respect. Let's see if he can get it. And meanwhile, over the weekend, If you tuned in to any of the basketball games, you saw the Celtics stay alive for once, not necessarily let Miami take a 3-0 lead. So that's now a 2-1 series lead by the Miami Heat as the Celtics took a victory. And then last night, the Los Angeles Lakers, they beat the Denver Nuggets 105-103, and they have a 2-0 series lead. The Lakers are going to try to take a 3-0 series lead starting tomorrow. You know, in Denver, at one point yesterday, they were down by 16 points. The Nuggets, I guess they just like coming from behind everywhere. This time it did not work out. Nikola Jokic, I mean, even to get to a point of taking the lead, he scored 11 straight points himself in the fourth quarter. Nikola Jokic finished with 30 points, but ultimately it was a three-pointer by Anthony Davis at the buzzer that gave the Lakers a victory, 105-103. And Anthony Davis, I would actually say this is a surprise to me. When you think about Los Angeles Lakers and all the titles that they have, Lakers that have hit a buzzer beater in the playoffs, you have Kobe Bryant, Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, Derek Fisher, Robert Horry, and Meta World Peace, the man formerly known as Ron Artest. So Anthony Davis does that. The Lakers happen to be wearing Mamba Edition jerseys, which were jerseys designed by Kobe Bryant. And Anthony Davis, he has just really stepped it up here in the playoffs. Last night, besides that three-pointer to win the game, he finished with 31 points. He had 9 rebounds, 2 blocks. LeBron James led the way early to start. He had 20 points in the first half. He only finished with 26, but he also grabbed 11 rebounds and dished for 4 assists. But Anthony Davis was the star of the show. Came off of a screen. Rondo got him the inbounds, and he knocked down the 3. This is what Anthony Davis had to say about his game winner.
For sure, the biggest shot of my career. And you know, when I left, I just wanted to you know, be able to compete for a championship. And I know that, you know, moments like this comes with it, especially being in L.A., the biggest market in basketball.
Listen, Anthony Davis has never been this deep into the playoffs in his entire career. This is a type of thing. I know you can be a child, you can be a kid, you can think about game-winning shots. Think about being able to actually hit one. Think about hitting a game-winning shot for the Los Angeles Lakers. You know, even when you get paid millions of bucks, moments like these are things you dream about as a child, especially if you legitimately have NBA aspirations and hoop dreams. LeBron James actually said, the biggest thing missing from that Anthony Davis three-pointer was for the crowd in the Staples Center to actually be able to witness and feel what Anthony Davis did. And it might be a game winner. It might have been something that was celebrated on the sideline and players were flying all over the place. And it was great to watch the Lakers have some fun. But LeBron brings up an excellent point. Our fans weren't even there. And that may not be something we see until next season. Let's see if we can go ahead and get these fans back depending on when the season gets going. Still quite a few questions to figure out there. But Frank Vogel, coach of the Lakers, who actually might win a title. How about that? We know Jason Kidd's been sitting next to him all season long, probably trying to figure out how he can get in on the action. Frank Vogel, he knows how special that game winner was for Anthony Davis. Listen.
We want to embody what Kobe Bryant stood for, you know, and honor his memory. And obviously, you know, there's certain games where we're going to feel it a little bit more than others. You know, when we have that uniform on, I think we feel it more than others. And, you know, that's a shot Kobe Bryant would hit. You know, so to me, you know, AD coming off, you know, that, you know, just flying to the wing like that with the catch and shoot, with the game on the line in the biggest moment of our season, nothing but net. It's a Mamba shot.
I like it. That's a Mamba shot. I didn't think I'd hear a Frank Vogel ever say anything like that, but that's pretty cool. And it also is a nice reminder that the Lakers are playing this season out, not just for themselves, but to honor Kobe Bryant, which I think is a pretty cool thing. And we as fans, and you don't have to be a Laker fan, but you can be pretty jaded just when you think about the calendar. You know, Kobe Bryant was lost earlier this year. Kobe Bryant was lost in February of this year. That wasn't years ago. This is fresh. And you really have to think about how close he was to the guys who are out there representing and playing for him. Whether it's knowing them in passing, knowing that he is a legend for the Lakers. But in the case of the two superstars in Anthony Davis and primarily LeBron James, just the relationship that was there. And I will tell you, the closest I have seen their relationships dates back to the Olympics in London in 2012. I was fortunate enough to have been out to the London Olympics. YouTube at the time invited me out to cover everything that was going on. And I had a chance for the first time in my lifetime to really be able to see how a USA basketball team operates, had a chance to go to some of the practices. And yeah, I would go to All-Star games, and you see it's a lot of fun and games and players going to parties and going to practice and media availability. But it's a different thing when it's Team USA. And this is not the 24 best players or the 30 best players. This is the best of the best. And when you see guys in their prime and even in their ascent, you know, your Kobe's, your LeBron's and Carmelo's, it's like, damn, look at who's here. And I actually remember Anthony Davis being the youngest guy on that squad. And Anthony Davis being the youngest dude who's basically thrown in because of his college success. And then you would see, you know, Kobe Bryant, this is Kobe. Even in 2012, he's still a little bit closer to coming off of those two championship victories. People remember him for what he did with Shaq. And here he is, Team USA Basketball. Anthony Davis, oh yeah, he had a relationship with Kobe Bryant. LeBron James definitely had a relationship with Kobe. You know, you reach the top of your profession like that, you are in rarefied air as to who, what, and how anybody's going to relate to you. There's no doubt you want to think about phenoms in basketball. What phenoms have we missed? Who's bigger coming out of being a child than Kobe Bryant and then LeBron James, who has seemingly, in my opinion, surpassed any of the expectations that were laid out in front of him? So don't take for granted what the Los Angeles Lakers are playing for. That's not to say that this is a given. That's not to say because of the unfortunate passing of Kobe Bryant, this is a gimme for the Lakers. It's not. But the Lakers have something more to play for. The Lakers already have the talent. The Lakers already have the best player in the game. The Lakers already have an Anthony Davis who has picked it up. You think about what Anthony Davis has done during the regular season, giving you 26 points and 9 rebounds and being a top contender for Defensive Player of the Year. Well, I mean, getting into the postseason, his last 12 games, he's moved that up to almost 29 points per game. You know, outside of a dud here or there, especially starting off with Portland, Anthony Davis has gotten a job done. And I've said it quite a few times. A lot of people had said it. LeBron James, if he wants to, can go out and take over a game. The Lakers missed a ton of shots to start the game off yesterday, and LeBron James still had 20 in the first half. He only had 6 in the second. And I'm pretty sure LeBron James is A-OK with that when he can boost the confidence of an Anthony Davis. And LeBron has said as much. Anthony Davis needs to know how great of a player that he is. And when he's down, I need to be here to be able to remind him how great of a player that he is. And I think Anthony Davis, he's finally here. Let's see if he can keep it up. I certainly think that the Los Angeles Lakers, they're gonna go forth and win a title. I don't think Denver is stopping them. I don't think they move on to the next round. I don't think the Celtics stop them. Maybe the Miami Heat, they might have the best chance, but I'd still give it to the Lakers. Tyler's on the phone. I'm going to remind you, our phone lines, 855-212-4CBS, is sponsored by Geico. And right now, Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's on top of what Geico could already save you. What are you waiting for? Go to geico.com to learn more. Tyler, you're on CBS Sports Radio, the JR Sport Brief Show. What are your thoughts on Anthony Davis' shot last night?
Hey, JR. It's Tyler in Knoxville. I love talking to you about the NBA, man.
Well, thank you, Tyler. Go on ahead, man. I'm here with you.
All right. So, yeah, Anthony Davis last night, totally clutch. Like you said, I think LeBron is huge for Anthony Davis' confidence. And New Orleans, you know, he was kind of passive at times. I think we haven't seen as much of that this year with him. It was great to see him hit that shot last night. He screamed Kobe as he made the shot, like in the Dave Chappelle, you know, Kobe. That was awesome. I love the Mamba jerseys. But honestly, like, I'm thinking about this finals coming up, and I don't see Denver even making this a series. So I'm thinking Miami versus the Lakers, man. I'm thinking LeBron James against Eric Spoelstra, the first team that he won his first title with. I'm thinking it's going to be epic. And to me, the whole bubble situation goes back to the Mamba mentality and the whole being in the gutter. You know what I mean? Being in the tunnel, being Mamba mentality. You know, focused on a goal. And I think it really hits on the whole narrative about this being the Lakers' season to honor Kobe. And to see LeBron go against the Heat, and, man, I really think that Heat team is coming. I think they are legit. I think they have 1-8 that is as good as any 1-8 in the entire NBA. And, man, I think it's just going to be amazing. I'm just really looking forward to the finals. I think this series is over.
Okay.
I don't think the Celtics have a chance against the Heat. I'm just really looking forward to the finals, man. I'll hang up and listen to what you have to say.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Tyler, for calling up from Knoxville. I appreciate the kind words as well. No, I agree with you. I mean, there's only but so much magic that the Nuggets can have. And it's real fitting when Anthony Davis is yelling Kobe to pretty much end the game. And I think, yes, the Lakers have a 2-0 series lead. Don't expect for them to go up 3-1 and then to blow it. I think the magic is done for the Nuggets. We'll continue this conversation. We have more time to talk about basketball, but I do want to get back to football and talking about week 2. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to chat it up with Greg Bell. He's a Seahawks beat reporter for the Tacoma News Tribune. We talked about Russell Wilson. Why is he doing what he's doing right now? Is it as simple as Pete Carroll allowing him to throw the football? Or is there more at stake when you think about some of the talent around him? We're going to have this conversation when we come back. Don't you move. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show right here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We're in the process of wrapping up Week 2. The Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders, lead the Saints right now, 31-24, 2 minutes remaining in that matchup. But let's talk about something that we saw last night. Let's talk about something that we've watched for the past 2 weeks, and that is the excellence of Russell Wilson, the accuracy for a quarterback at this point in time to have a completion percentage of more than 80%, to have 9 touchdowns in 2 games. Russell Wilson is playing on another level. Is it simply a matter of opening up the offense? Is it a matter of enhanced skill players? This is a different generation, a different era for a quarterback who is only 31 years old. To talk about it, we wanted to bring on Greg Bell, Seahawks beat writer for the Tacoma News Tribune. Greg, thank you for taking the time to hop on.
You're welcome, JR. Good evening to you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I got to first off ask you, we know Russell Wilson has been one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL since he has stepped out onto the field. Obviously, what he's done on the field has changed. What do you give that credit towards? Is it just a matter of allowing him to throw the ball more? What are your thoughts?
Well, so far it is a change in philosophy and mentality, not just in the play caller, Brian Schottenheimer, in year three with Wilson, but in Wilson himself. He's very outspoken now about how much he wants to be the best who's ever played. He's always said that, but he hasn't been as open about it publicly as he's been in the last couple months and since training camp has started. He's been adamant that he wants to play 15 more years, that he gets up every morning not just to be the best in the league now, but the best in the league who ever played, better than Montana, better than Brady, better than Manning. He mentions those names as his benchmarks. And now he's got an offensive coordinator who understands him. And whereas before, the Seahawks would wait until they absolutely needed Wilson in the fourth quarter of games after trying to establish Chris Carson in the running game for so many years. Now they give him the opportunity to win the games in the first and second quarter. That's what he did in Atlanta. Schottenheimer called 28 pass plays in the first 38 snaps of the Seahawks season. I mean, that's like Eric Coryell, Dan Fouts, Chargers stuff out here in Seattle. Chuck Knox would have been rolling around going nuts. That was a departure from the previous years. And it was all this let Russ cook for all offseason. And Schottenheimer, the play caller, said, yeah, you know, we talked about it. We sat down with Russell Wilson. We sat down, Pete Carroll and I, and explained, we've got a great player, and we want to use him more to win games more often earlier in them. And then you mentioned the skill around him. DK Metcalf was a freak last year, and now he's a super freak. And now he's in year two, which is the biggest, I mean, exponential growth for any professional athlete between year one and year two of his career. And you couple that with the physical skills he has, 6'4", 229, a 4'3", 40. You saw him just physically manhandle the defensive player of the year in the NFL last year, Stephon Gilmore, on that 54-yard touchdown. He just shook him off when the ball was in the air at the point of competing for the pass. He just got rid of him.
Yeah.
Gilmore fell down to his feet. It's those kind of athletes that now, Tyler Lockett, Greg Olsen came in. I know he had the pass that went through his hands for the interception, returned for a touchdown. But when they still have Chris Carson, who can run the ball, and oh, by the way, has three touchdown receptions already, his career high, Carson, in two games, the weapons around him, the mentality change, as long as they can pass protect him, which is a big if, he can have a huge season.
He looks like he's already well on his way. We're chatting up with Greg Bell, beat writer for the Seahawks, representing the Tacoma News Tribune. What differences from a leadership perspective? You spoke about his own personal goals, but there's a difference between what we've seen from Russell Wilson and the Legion of Boom, and it seems we have totally transitioned away from that. There's no doubt he is the dominant personality. This is his team. How has that changed over the years?
It has changed. This used to be Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas, and Chancellor. This would be their team. The Legion of Boom was the identity of this franchise. Marshawn Lynch was the offense and the soul of the offense. Cam Chancellor was the soul of the team and on strong safety on defense. And Russell Wilson didn't quite fit in with all of those other leaders and alpha personalities and money. He was still playing under his rookie contract. He was a 2002 draft pick. When he started the two consecutive Super Bowls, he was still on his rookie deal. Meanwhile, Sherman got paid. Thomas got paid, and Chancellor got paid, and Doug Baldwin got paid. Well, then the Seahawks had to make a choice when the Legion of Boom turned 30, and Michael Bennett got into his early 30s, and the $10 million-plus contracts didn't make sense anymore. And oh, by the way, they had a quarterback who was still in his 20s. They said, we're going to make him and Bobby Wagner, also still in his 20s, from the same draft class, they're going to be our new pillars. And they gave him record deals at each of their positions, $140 million last year to Wilson, $54 million to the middle linebacker Wagner, and they said, those are our guys. And that gave Wilson the authority in the locker room. Not that he didn't have it by position, but the veteran players that were older than he and making more money than him were gone. And now all of a sudden he was that veteran player making more money than all the kids that Pete Carroll and John Schneider turned the team over with. And that is the difference in the dynamic now. He's not just the leader by position, but by actions of the franchise and the salary he makes. And now he's got the play, of course, that backs that up.
Well, Greg, I want to ask you something about the standings. Obviously, the Niners might be the defending NFC champions. They're dealing with just a rash of injuries. The Cardinals are young and upcoming. The Rams, they've had a nice start here at 2-0. Let's see if they can keep it up. Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, they have the most experience. They have the most longevity out of any of these teams in the division. What do you think they're going to look like when it's all said and done at the end of the year?
Well, they have to pressure the quarterback, JR. If they don't get to quarterbacks better than they've gotten to Matt Ryan and Cam Newton, they aren't going to the Super Bowl because they're probably not going to win a division. And the NFL's statistics and the Seahawks history tells you if you don't have home playoff games, you're probably not going to the Super Bowl. It's by exception that you make the Super Bowl on the road. They need to win the division to get home playoff games, and they're going to have to rush the passer. They have one sack in two games from a defensive lineman, Benson Mayoa, who played 90% of the snaps yesterday. That's not why they signed him from the Raiders in the offseason at age 29 to play 90% of the snaps. Bruce Irvin is going on IR. He has season-ending knee surgery, injury late in last night's game. Their second-round draft pick, Darrell Taylor from Tennessee, was supposed to be the big shot, top rookie pass rusher. He hasn't even practiced yet. He's on a non-football injury list. LJ Collier, you saw make a great play last night at the end of the game on Newton. That's the first play he's really made in his two-year career. He was the first-round pick last year at defensive end. They didn't get Jadeveon Clowney. They didn't get Everson Griffin. There was a lot of unknowns in the pass rush. 847 yards passing they go out in two games, JR. If they don't fix that, that's their Achilles heel, and that's what will keep them from the Super Bowl. But offensively, Russell Wilson may have to throw 75 touchdown passes to offset the defense giving up the passing yards. They're not a perfect team by any means. No NFL team is. You mentioned Arizona. I knew Kyler Murray was going to be better, and I knew his head coach, Kingsbury, in year two were going to be better. Now they have DeAndre Hopkins. Their defense is getting better. They're the most dangerous team in the division to me. And San Francisco last year was pretty charmed in terms of health. Already in 2 weeks, we saw the Meadowlands swallow them up yesterday with four big starters. That was the one variable. Usually when you get to the Super Bowl, you've been healthy and fortunate. San Francisco's been neither so far, yet they're only a game out of the division lead early.
All right. So, Greg, if you had to go ahead and pick one of these teams to win the division, who would you go ahead and choose?
Well, if San Francisco gets healthier, I still think they have as much talent or more than Seattle, and they are not, they don't have the fatal flaw of a defensive pass. The defensive front has not been their issue. So they are better than Seattle defensively, especially in the pass rush and up front of defensive line, but they got to get healthy to be that. If they can't come back from those injuries, Seattle wins the division. I think all three teams could have winning records. All four teams in that division could have winning records this year. That's how strong it's going to be. They're going to beat each other up. We're seeing already the talent in what is already the toughest division in the league. Seattle needs a pass rush. They need to protect Russell Wilson better than they have for the last 3 years in order to get to the division title and home playoff games.
No doubt about that. Well, Greg, we want everybody to stay healthy. I appreciate you calling up. We've been chatting up with Greg Bell, Seahawks beat writer for the Tacoma News Tribune. Greg, where can people keep up with you online?
I appreciate that, JR. At G Bell Seattle on Twitter, thenewstribune.com, on our website with Seahawks coverage all the time. It's quite an interesting – to be a beat writer in the NFL this year is quite an interesting task. We're going to the road games in an empty stadium in Atlanta. And I don't know if the fans realize, when you watch an NFL game on television, that is not the noise in the stadium. It is silent, like library silent in the stadium. That's all TV broadcast noise. It's quite a unique experience in many ways right now to be at an NFL football game.
Well, Greg, you be safe and you be well. Hopefully we can chat it up real soon and spend some time talking about what the Seahawks are doing at the end of the season. That would be pretty damn cool. I thank you for taking the time to hop on.
Yes, sir. Thank you. You be well.
No doubt. Shout outs to Greg Bell joining in, Seahawks beat writer for the Tacoma News Tribune. He said it. The noise that we see is just for us at home. They're playing in some silent places right now. And you can't take for granted what Greg is doing, the work that he's doing. When we come back, we have to talk about what the Raiders just did. The Raiders beat the Saints at home to open up Allegiant Stadium. I'm going to tell you the score and more when we come back. You're actually going to learn it right now as well, because it's time for a news break here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. The Las Vegas Raiders. Oh, yeah, I got to get used to saying that. The Las Vegas Raiders, they beat the Saints 34-24 to open up their new stadium right off of the Las Vegas Strip, Allegiant Stadium. We're going to talk about that in a second as we get ready to recap week two and talk about this matchup. Well, the Saints are 1-1. The Raiders are 2-0. How about that? But I do want to remind you that on Sunday, week three, the NFL on CBS features fantastic matchups, highlighting the league's top contenders, including the Raiders, who just won. They are on the road against the Patriots, and Deshaun Watson and the Texans taking on the Steelers. It starts with JB and the guys getting you set for the day starting on Sunday. That's noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. Okay, before we went to break, we had a chance to chat it up and talk Seahawks with Greg Bell, beat writer for the Tacoma News Tribune. So thank you to Greg for coming through to talk about Russell Wilson and all his awesomeness. And as I said, last Friday, we spoke about Russell Wilson and whether or not he's underrated. One man who before the season started said he's tired of the disrespect. And I basically said, well, go win something. Go do something first. You're tired of disrespect? Go win something. Who is that man? It happens to be Derek Carr, who tonight outplayed Drew Brees. Derek Carr, 282 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. Josh Jacobs rushed 27 times for 88 yards. And Darren Waller, he went out there, 12 receptions, 103 yards. Drew Brees, crucial interception mid-game that had the internet kind of going crazy. There were calls for Jameis Winston. People were saying Jameis Winston is begging to get into the game. As Drew Brees, he threw for 312 yards. He gave you a touchdown and an interception. Alvin Kamara, he's certainly earning all of his money, at least so far to start this season. He rushed for 79 yards in 2 TDs. And then with no Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, he caught 9 passes for 95 yards. So he is certainly working overtime. And the loss of Michael Thomas might be affecting what the Saints are doing right now. Not necessarily an excuse for giving up 34 points to the Las Vegas Raiders, but if I'm a Raiders fan, I'm kind of happy about what this is right now. We had no idea, and I hate to say it, but we didn't know who was going to come in second place in the AFC West. It's a foregone conclusion that you look at the Kansas City Chiefs and that they were going to come out on top. You know, you would think it was going to be between the Raiders and the Broncos. Well, guess what? The Broncos, one of their top wide receivers, Cortland Sutton, done. Out for the year with an ACL injury. You look at their quarterback. You look at Drew Lock. We don't know how long he's done. We don't know if he is done, but we know he has a sprained shoulder. That sucker came out of his socket. He could be out a week. He could keep playing, but he's going to be hurt. He's hurt. This is prime time for the Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders, that they've now gone 2-0 to start the season. And now having gone 2-0, I'd venture to say, yeah, I'm not counting the Chargers for nothing. Nice debut from Justin Herbert. He had an opportunity to go out there because Tyrod Taylor was a last-second scratch. I don't know if it was a rib, his chest, who knows, but he didn't play. It doesn't matter if it's Tyrod. It doesn't matter if it's Herbert. The Chargers aren't winning a damn thing this year. The Broncos are already 0-2. The Raiders have started 2-0. And, you know, I don't know if I'm prepared to say, oh, they're going to the playoffs on a wild card spot. But I am prepared to say they got the best odds right now of getting a wild card spot and at least finishing second behind the Chiefs. I think that's the most you can pretty much ask for at this point in time. And Derek Carr, yeah, if he keeps playing like this, 28 of 38 passes, almost 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, then, yeah, Derek Carr, he should get a little some of that respect that he's been asking for. But first, win something, okay? You came out pretty damn hot to start your career. Now things have pretty much slowed down. Don't ask for respect. Go earn it. Nobody wants to hear you complaining for a Raiders team that hasn't done a damn thing. Let's see what they can do this season. I'm still not all that sold on the defense or the offense all coming together. I see the Raiders team, and I see a 500 squad. That's just my thought. But, hey, 500 still might be good enough to come in second place behind the Chiefs. I think that is the best-case scenario if I'm looking at the Raiders. I'm going to go ahead and ask Super Producer Stu. Not only is he lucky enough to be a fan of the Lakers, Stu is also a fan of the Raiders. Stu, what are your thoughts on what you've seen in 2 weeks from the Raiders?
Yeah, I mean, I'm thrilled. I thought they would beat the Panthers. That wasn't too surprising. But when I saw the Saints on the schedule week two, I was like, all right, there's no way they're going to win this game. Breeze is going to torch them. He's going to light them up, Peyton in that offense. So to get this win, I know they're a little banged up without Michael Thomas, but at the same time, the offense for the Raiders looked really good, better than it's looked in years, I think. They went with what worked with Jacobs on the ground. They threw it a lot to Waller, who's a really good tight end. I feel pretty good. They're not as good as the Chiefs. There's no way they're as good as the Chiefs. I'm not even going to, you know, consider that. But you're right. The Broncos are pretty banged up. The Chargers are banged up, too. I mean, there's a chance they could be second in the division, like you said, in a year where you get that extra playoff spot. I mean, would I be stunned if they made the playoffs? No, I feel great. I'm really happy right now, Jared. That's all I can really say.
Yeah, no, I'm sure, Stu. I mean, this is a come-up for the Raiders. You had no idea. You have Derek Carr here. Marcus Mariota, I know he's been dealing with his own little injury bug, and you weren't necessarily going to see him. But when he was brought in, it was a far-gone conclusion that, whoa, here's somebody to look over Derek Carr's shoulder. Here's somebody to threaten Derek Carr if he doesn't show up. The love affair between Gruden and Mariota has been well documented. I mean, Gruden would seemingly just lose his mind just at the mere thought of Marcus Mariota. Well, Derek Carr is doing his best to make sure you never see this man playing in a Raiders uniform.
Yeah, and sorry, Jaron, like when they signed Mariota and I saw the schedule the first like 5 or 6 weeks, I thought this had the writing on the wall of Carr struggling his first few games and I'm going right to Mariota. So I thought that was what was going to happen. It looks like now, at least for now, it looks like that's, you know, Carr's job is safe, but it's crazy. That's what I thought when they signed Mariota, was he was going to be Carr's eventual replacement.
Oh, absolutely. It seemed like they were lining it up. But, hey, in 2 weeks, Derek Carr has done his job, and let's see what he can do next week. I think as they move to New England and they have their next matchup and play their next game, that will be telling. What does Derek Carr do against Bill Belichick and his offense? If you can go out and solve that, Derek Carr, I think you're making things pretty clear on where you stand. You want that respect. I don't care how many linebackers are missing from Bill Belichick's squad. I don't care who opted out. If Derek Carr and the Raiders can beat the Patriots, you're going to get a whole lot more respect from me. And let's see what the Raiders can do. I still, and I know we spoke about this last week, Stu, I'm disappointed that I love black. Black is my favorite color. I love black. I love red. I got all types of Raiders gear that I've gotten over my entire life that I hold very close to me. I have an affinity off and on for Las Vegas. I like to go, stay a few days and leave. But I am highly disappointed that there are no fans in Vegas and that we won't see fans in that Allegiant Stadium. I already look at it and I go, that's a pretty damn cool place just because it's all damn black. I signed me up, but no fans there, man. It sucks.
Yeah, it would have been, I think the atmosphere too tonight would have just been crazy. That first game and the Saints coming in, it would have been wild, but I guess we're going to have to wait a whole year for it. So maybe next year we'll have a good, year two opener in Las Vegas and it'll be pretty nuts.
Now, answer me this, Stu, if you know, you may not have the answer here. What the hell is the black hole? I mean, do we just have to wait for the fans to show up? Did they put a designated area behind the goalpost, or is it just regular seating? Is there anything special in the stadium?
I don't think there is, at least yet. I think they're just going to wait for the fans to come. I don't think there's, any Lambeau Leap or anything like that. I think it's just, we're not going to get the same black hole until we get some fans there. At least that's what I believe in terms of what I've seen.
Listen, congratulations to you, Stu, all you Raider fans out there. Yes, when we actually can have fans in Allegiant Stadium, I need to know about the black hole. I need to visit the black hole. I need to see how many crazy folks are going to show up with their faces painted and wild outfits. I will just stand on the Las Vegas Strip and just see some of the black hole members walking by. But I know that is going to be one hell of an experience to check out a football game in Vegas. Everybody is no longer scared of the gambling issue. Let's see what happens. I'm here for it. I think it's unfortunate that Oakland no longer has its football team. You got to look across the bay to the Niners. But something's better than nothing. Congratulations to the Raiders as they start their season 2-0. New Orleans 1-1, trying to figure it out without Michael Thomas. When we come back, we got to talk about these injuries. We have to. Okay? The NFL is, folks are dropping like flies. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.